Our gospel lesson for the morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, 44 through 53. Out of reverence for God's holy word, would you please stand for the reading? Hear now the word of our living God. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And see, I'm sending upon you what my Father has promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
How many of you have been to Israel? Yeah, you know, Jeff's going in just a few weeks. And they tell you things like, this may be the place where Jesus was crucified. And it someplace pretty close around here is where he raised Lazarus from the dead. And it might be that this was the very place where Jesus was born. And finally, they'll say to you, it could be this very rock that Jesus was standing on when he was taken up into heaven. Well, it doesn't matter which rock it was. It matters that he was taken up into heaven. And so you get a picture in your mind, and it helps you when you preach these texts to have that picture so that you can actually see it and describe it for the people. Dr. Luke has told us of the crucifixion, the death, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ on the way to Emmaus. Now, the gospel writer has us in the gathering place of the disciples, the ones who had encountered Christ on the road to Damascus, the ones who recognized him when he was breaking bread. They're gathered now to tell their stories each to the other and to listen to Jesus' instructions one more time. He's trying his best to get the message across to them of what they're going to need to do. In the trying to get that message across to them, they're as hard-headed as we are. They're still confused. And after all they had seen and heard, they still don't fully understand. He's about to ascend into heaven, and so he cuts to the chase. He wants to make it simple. He wants to get them to a place that they do understand. So he tells them this: repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed, are you listening, to all nations, not just the Jews, not just in Jerusalem. He's telling them that they're to go into the world, starting with Jerusalem, and tell this great good news to all the nations, all the people. They probably gave the same excuses we do. Sorry, I just don't have time right now. Sorry, I stay so busy with the kids. Sorry, I have to work. Sunday's the only day I have off. Sorry, I don't know how to do that, and sorry, it makes me uncomfortable, and sorry, I'm not very good about that. But if you read this carefully, It's the instruction that Jesus left for us. Now, here's what he did when they started coming up with all these excuses. The Holy Spirit's coming, he told them, to empower you on his way. So you just stay here in Jerusalem. You just stay right here in the city in Jerusalem and wait until you have the power to do what you're called to do. Jeff and I were talking about this text this week, and he had to preach it in seminary. And so he told his fellow students, stay right here at Candler now and hang on, because the Spirit's coming, and then we will be empowered to go out and spread the gospel. I've spent this week looking at the power part. Now, I've preached this text a lot of times, but this time I wanted to concentrate on the power part of this. What kind of power? Are we going to be faster than a speeding bullet? More powerful than a locomotive? I don't think that's the kind of power he was talking about, do you, Jeff? It might have been fun to be like that for a day. He's talking about power. He's talking about holy power. He's talking about Pentecostal power. He's talking about power, not the kind that we usually see that causes conflicts and arguments and debates and wars. Do we really want that kind of power? After I've watched the presidential debates this year, I don't think I want that kind of power. It scares me to think one of them might have that kind of power. Power is a little like money. Money is not evil when it's shared, when it's used for good. But the love of money, it's not that eye of the camel's going to pass through the eye of a needle easier than a rich man go to heaven. It's not that. That rich man will go to heaven as quick as poor folks do if they don't fall in love with money instead of falling in love with God. You see? Power is a good thing. Holy power is a grand thing. And a measure of that is given to each one of us. It's only when we abuse it, use it for our own way, use it for bad instead of good, that's when power becomes evil. So I spent this week looking for power, a good power, a grand power. I watched part of the NFL draft, and I can't remember which one of the coaches it was. Jim, did you watch the draft? Okay, good, because you won't know whether I'm right or wrong. And one of the coaches, and I don't know which one, and I didn't have time to look it up, said it's not about the size of the football player. It doesn't matter what size the player is. And I thought, that's weird. Barry's huge. I'd hate to be the little bitty guy out there that with those big old guys, wouldn't you? But he said this, it's the size of the heart in the player. And I said, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. That's power. The staff and I have been looking at new programs, more Bible studies, what'll be different when we move back into our space, when we move back into our sanctuary, when we have youth rooms that will allow us to grow and children's space that will allow us to grow. How are we going to do those things? How are we going to do the things that are really good for our church? Well, we're going to wait right here for power. But I'll tell you the truth. We don't have on staff the manpower and the woman power to get it done alone. It's going to take you. It's going to take your power. It's going to take holy power. We need volunteers, and we need them right away. They are being called, and some of them are stepping forward, but not nearly all. We need more volunteers for Vacation Bible School right now. And I got the excuses. I got to work. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I can't do it this year. Maybe I can do it next year. Could be another time. But let me tell you something. There's a woman in this church. She's here someplace. Oh, she left after the children sang. She was here at early church. Her name is Denise Mario. Moraro. She has children named Nico, Jackson, Xavier, and Max. They are 9, 6, 3, and 3 months. And she has volunteered to help with Vacation Bible School every single day for 2 weeks. So that blows your excuse. Jennifer Tehan and Mary Ruth both took a week of vacation to be here to work at Vacation Bible School. That sort of blows your excuses. We need more help. Last night I did a wedding. It was Ann Rushi's son Jeff and his fiancee Lindsay. They were married in Athens.
Go dogs.
That's what I say. Go somewhere, dogs. They were having in Athens something called Twilight. Now, I didn't know what that was, but I kept running into people. All the streets were closed. You couldn't get to where you needed to be. I left my house at 3 o'clock to make a 6 o'clock wedding in Athens. I finally found out today, Jeff didn't know what Twilight was, except it happened every year. I found out today that that's a bike race through the streets of downtown Athens. I kept seeing people in capes with vampire fangs. And I kept thinking it was vampire like on TV, Twilight. And I think it probably was some of that. I got out there quick as I could. Just a real quick stop at the varsity. Thank you, but I'm not staying for the reception. I run by and get a Yankee dog from the varsity and be on my way to Shambly, Atlanta, where the traffic is not this bad. When I married them, I was pondering the vows that they took. Will you love her, honor her, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor? And then I realized when I got to her vows, that when I first started doing this, they added one to the female's vows. You remember what it was, Beth?
Obey.
I had them take that out of mine. I wasn't going to do it. I knew I wasn't going to do it. I couldn't take a vow when I knew I wasn't going to do it. Take it out. Now it's completely deleted from our ritual or book of worship. Does not belong there anymore. But it did not add power, that word obey. It deleted power. It's a lot harder to love than it is to obey. My grandchildren at times probably don't love me very much when I get on to them. But they obey me. You can bet they do, because they want something. It's coming. Power. That was a bad kind of power to put in there. I love the powerful vows of, will you honor him? Will you care for him? Will you keep him in sickness and in health? For richer, for poor? And forsaking all others, keep only unto him so long as you both shall live. That's power. Then I got this picture from Sarah White. This is little John Arthur that will be called Jack. He'll be coming to Bible school in just a few years. Isn't he something? And I realized that that baby can do nothing but eat and sleep and pee and poop. That's all he can do. Nez knows, right? All that baby can do. Cry. But that baby's got more power than anybody in the house. He's going to set the schedule for everybody that's there. He's going to demand feedings when he gets hungry. He's going to have to be put down for a nap. And it's not going to be but a week or two before that mother's saying, "We've got to go. The baby's got to get down for the nap." He comes, that baby, with all this vulnerability, but he has power. It's called love. He's going to determine what kind of TV shows you watch, what kind of music you listen to, what you do with your daylight hours and what you do with your nighttime hours. He's going to take your time and your sleep, your time and your energy, your time and your efforts, your time and the money you got. He's going to take it all. That's power. I went over to Big Emory. What day was that? Thursday. To do a blessing of the hands for the graduating nurses there. And I said to them as I was getting ready to do this blessing, they have the education now. They have the clinicals now. They have the experience now. Where are you going to work? Where are you going to work? One's going to DeKalb General in the emergency room. One wants to work at Grady in the trauma center. They're spreading out. One at Piedmont. They're spreading out. They got now, and what they don't realize is how much power they have. See, I can't take a shower today because the nurse said, I have to eat something when I take this pill because the nurse said. And if they're working in OB, it's going to be, he's a beautiful baby. The nurse said she'd never seen one that beautiful before. Power. But in those hands that are now educated, they have the power to comfort, to relieve fears, to help heal, to make comfortable, all those things. Power, good power, Holy Spirit power. Today is Mother's Day. I have two daughters-in-law, two sons, and my daughters-in-law are good mothers to all the children. Now, one son and his wife have five children, and one son and his wife have six children. Wow. Somebody said wow. Correct. That you are correct. They're all at my house right now. And granted that all of the children are not biologically born into our family. But you listening to me? We do not have stepchildren. They do not exist in our family. We have children. And they are all our children. Doesn't matter where they come from. It matters where they're going. My daughters-in-law have power over those children. But they treat them all the same. And they use that power to wash clothes and cook meals, to drive taxis, to help with homework, to listen to the latest crisis, to watch endless ball games. They can pack more food to go to a ball game than anybody I've ever seen. To get ready for proms, to help them with weddings, and we got one coming up. To dry tears and to ground them when they need to be grounded because they have the power to mold them into responsible men and women. God bless them and all the other mothers and dads who spend time to do that. I know I haven't ever gotten one out of jail. I don't think I'll have to do that, save maybe Lily Grace. That's holy power. That's Holy Spirit power. And you have power. You absolutely have power. You may not realize it, but you have the power to make someone feel welcome when they walk in this church. You also have the power to exclude them. You're the people that serve on committees, that show up to unlock the church, that show up to lock the church, that come when the burglar alarm goes off. You're the people that put money in the plate and make it happen. You're the ones who help make the decisions for the church. And when someone new or someone who's been away for a long time comes back or someone visits the church, they look to you. And you determine whether they stay, whether they come back the next Sunday, or whether they go away. You have power. But we need more holy power to make sure those visitors feel at home. To make sure that we provide what they want, what they need, and to make sure that they're folded in to part of the family. We need to invite those people to men's breakfast, UMW circles, Sunday school classes. Boy Scouts can always use help in the Boy Scouts, Mike. Parties, Sunday school parties. They don't have to be in your Sunday school class to go to your Sunday school class party. Concerts, egg hunts, fall festivals, cake bakes, but you can't just invite them. You can't just say Wednesday night. They don't know what happens on Wednesday night. Where do I go? How much does it cost? How should I dress? What's the menu look like? How long does it last? You need to help them understand what's going on. When I was a little bitty girl, I went with a friend to the church one day through the week for her mother to get a Sunday school class ready for Sunday morning. And we ran down the hall, and she ducked in a Sunday school room where we could play, and it was dark in there, and she ran across the room and reached up under a banner and flipped the light switch on. And I stood and looked at that little girl, and I thought, someday, I'm going to know where the light switches are. Please, when somebody asks you, can you turn the lights on in here, take them and show them where the light switch is and say, now you'll always know where the light switch is. And when someone comes to you and says, do y'all need some help? The answer is, yeah, take my spot. I can go do something else. Don't ever tell them no. They will never be part of the family until you put them to work. Give them something to do. That's power. That's holy power. We need to pray for holy power. We need greeters in the back. Mr. John, Mr. Leonard, Craig, Miss Jean, they stay back there every week. And we need more that make sure nobody has to come in and look for a seat. And when we move back, we need even more because we need them at every single door. We need to pray for new families. There's houses going up there. There's houses going up there. And we need to pray for holy power to come down and touch people so that we can find the folks to go and say, just wanted to invite you down to Shamley First Church. I'll meet you in the parking lot Sunday morning. Is that right, James? We need people who are walkers that just walk around the neighborhood that are willing to take with them a little package that'll hang on a doorknob that says, welcome to Shamley and welcome to Shamley First. Doesn't take much. We need those folks. And so we need to be praying for power. You have the power to make your own decisions. It's called free will. You can decide to help or you can decide to hurt or you can decide to be benign. And that is entirely up to you. My prayer is as we wait for the facilities to give us the freedom to start new programs, to house more children and youth, to grow the choir. Don't y'all want to grow the choir? Okay, the second thing you say when you knock on the door is, will you come to Shamley First? The second thing you say is, will you sing in the choir? There you go. My prayer is that as we wait for new buildings, We are beginning to pray up new programs and the volunteers to carry them. And that is you. Amen.